Well, let's have a word of prayer. All right, then after that, we can begin our Sunday Bible hour as we wait for others to come in as well. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful that you are here with us. And Father, we can come into your presence, Lord. We may be carrying things on our hearts, but Lord, thy word teaches in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And Father, we look forward to you teaching us your word. The truth that will set us free, Father, from our anxieties, from our perhaps things that balk our mind. Lord, right now we pray as we submit to you, as we learn from your precious word, as the children upstairs also learn from your word. We pray, Lord, for a wonderful time of learning. Pray for a wonderful time of allowing the Holy Spirit to teach us what it means to add to our faith knowledge. Father, we pray for us to remember many of the things we've learned as well. We thank you for what you're going to do. And Father, whatever that is taught, we pray that your Holy Spirit will take it and apply it to our life and change us, Lord, more and more into your likeness. We'll thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, from last week, we talked about adding our spiritual growth, right? We talked about, let's turn to 2 Peter. That's where we're at, 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll just do a quick revision, maybe first 10 to 12 minutes to actually practicalize adding virtue. Okay, no sense just looking at what we need to do. We'll revise that. And then, what are some areas that we need to add virtue practically? Okay? All right, in 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse number 5, the Bible teaches us, and beside this, giving all diligence. We talk about giving diligence has the idea of focus, has the idea of emphasis, priority. Giving all diligence, add to your faith what? Virtue. So we talk about virtue. So how do we add virtue to our faith? What are the fine points? Anyone? I'm sure you've written down what are the fine points. First one is, recognize your goal of the Christian life is what? Christ-likeness. We need to have a starting point. Okay, so the starting point is, recognize that the goal of the Christian life is Christ-likeness. Okay? How do we add virtue to our faith? Realize that there must be a difference in the way we live our lives after becoming a Christian. Will there be a change in our attitude? Yes, there will be. As the Holy Spirit guides us, as we struggle and surrender to the Holy Spirit, our attitudes will change. Will there be a change in our character? Yes, there will be. There will be many times that we will want still to do things the old way, but over time we begin to realize the better way is God's way. We change our character. Will there be a change in our desires? Yes, there will be. Why? Because you begin to be more heavenly-minded. You begin to be more Christ-like in your thoughts. You will want the things of Christ. Will there be any change in our relationships? Yes, there will be. Because as you begin to realize certain things, God, we can't do it that way anymore because it is against what God says. You begin to move. There will be a change. There will be a difference in the way. We'll talk about that later, okay? Gratefully surrender to the Lord Jesus, number 3. After realizing what Jesus has done for us, we say, yes, Lord, I will surrender to you. Number 4, start getting rid of attitudes, actions, and words that reflect the old life. It is a do-it-yourself project. You will have to make a decision as the Holy Spirit impresses on you, okay? By the way, when the Holy Spirit convicts us, there are a few avenues in which he uses. Number 1, he uses your own Bible reading. That's why your own Bible reading is very important. The Holy Spirit uses that. Okay? Some people just choose not to read their Bibles simply because, you know, if they read the Bible, the Holy Spirit will convict us. I had people who come, Johnny, I'm not going to come to church. If I come to church, I know the Holy Spirit will convict me. And true enough, some have come and some have stayed after that because the Holy Spirit say, you are not going anymore, okay? Another avenue is the services, all right? When the Word of God is preached, you are convicted, and the Holy Spirit uses that. When someone sends you an SMS, or when someone actually speaks to you about a certain area of your life, the Holy Spirit uses that as an instrument and an avenue to help us, okay? And we cannot deny that. Some people will say, you don't understand. Well, some people may not understand everything, but I always use this to understand it. If someone cared enough to tell us something, then we need to listen to that person. Okay? If someone bothered enough to at least say, you may not totally agree with the person, that's okay, but you know you can use that still. The Holy Spirit can use that to actually convict us as well. Okay? And of course, you may have friends around you who may talk about situations. God can also use that. All right? These are the more periphery already, but your own Bible reading, preaching of in the services, even fellowships, and when someone actually personally counsel with you, God uses those, all right? But gratefully surrender and then get rid of attitudes, actions, and words that reflect the old life. And then on the other hand, obey everything the Bible teaches you. Okay, obey everything the Bible teaches you. That will automatically make you stronger and stronger and stronger. When we start resisting, why can't? Once you start resisting, it's like a soldier who wants to be a commando but refuse to listen to the instructions of the commanders. You're not going to get there. Before long, I had one friend. He was in officer cadet school, and his attitude was such that when the commanders are not there, he will skive. But when commanders are there, he tried to kind of put up a show. Over time, the commanders picked up, and they kept him in the OCS for 8.5 months. 2 weeks before they graduated, they sacked him out of course. It was a sad thing, but it was deliberate because of his attitude. Okay, he didn't want to listen. He was breaking the rules. He was smoking where he's not supposed to smoke, and so he became a bit high. He was in my section, so our section leader had problems with him. But you know, in order to be what God wants us to be, we must be willing to obey. Obedience is a key. From the youngest to the oldest, obedience to God is a key. And I cannot minimize it. We cannot overestimate that. All right? Obey everything the Bible teaches you. Okay, any questions? So remember these five things, and we need to put it back and put it into our lives. In other words, we may have to go through one by one ourselves in our own time and say, Lord, am I doing this? Am I doing that? Am I doing this? Okay? Now, moving forward, what are some areas that we need to add virtue? Let's turn to Ephesians 4. Okay? What are some areas that practically we need to add virtue? There are many, many areas, but I'll just use Paul because Paul gives very practical things that affects every one of us. Okay, Ephesians 4. I'm sure other passages as well, but you know, as you read the Bible, you need to practicalize it this way. Okay? So what are some areas that we need to add virtue? Remember, virtue is the effort that we put in to accomplish what God wants us to have, which is Christ-likeness. Okay? Or rather, the virtue is the outcome of our work to become more and more like Christ. Okay? We don't work for our salvation, but we do have to work hard at growing our character. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. I'll just quickly go through, because of time. Actually, initially, I wanted us to kind of talk about it. But please contribute as we go, all right? Ephesians 4, and verse 25. Let's start there. Some of the practical things that Paul actually talked about. I'll read verse 24, and then we go on in verse 25 and so on. Okay? And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Paul, in his teaching of the Ephesian church, says, you need to actively put on something. It's in active form. You need to put on. Okay, when you dress up to come to church on Sunday, you have to put off your pajamas or whatever and then put on your nice clothing. It requires effort. It requires action. Some people believe that God will change them. He will when we start moving. I say again, God will only change us when we start moving in line with His, in obedience to His will. Because God cannot force you to change. You must be willing to change and take the first step. And once you start putting on, okay, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So what is the new man? What is the dressing of the new man? Look at verse 25. Therefore, now Paul practicalizes everything. Put away lying and speak truth. Every man with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Okay, the first thing in our conduct with one another, Paul lists down from 25 to 29 some areas we need to add virtue in our conduct. Stop lying and start telling the truth. Stop living a lie, stop being deceptive, stop covering up, but start telling the truth. Be willing to be open, be willing to be honest. I'm thankful some people are very honest and open. Some people are too honest Okay, certain things you share with your spouse, certain things you can share openly. But you know, as Christians, we need to be able to be honest with one another. Okay, and we need to refrain from judging. Okay, knowing that everyone who says something or shares something actually have a reason for that. And I think in the spirit of Christian compassion, we may need to just stop first and say, okay, do I judge or do I ask more questions or do I help the person? Okay? But here, coming back to ourselves, our responsibility is stop telling lies. Okay? I'm not saying you are, but the Bible says, wherefore, put away lying. Take lying out and put it away. And do what? Speak truth with his neighbor. And who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Anyone that has a need. Okay? And because we are members one of another. You know, this is an important truth that the Holy Spirit teaches us. The reason why we tell truth to one another, I'll give you an illustration. Just imagine your body. Your body requires the eyes, the nerves, the blood vessels, everything to work together, right? Right? What if one part of the blood vessels send a poisonous substance to another part of the body? What will happen to the body? It actually poisons another part of the body, right? In your body. Does it make sense? Okay? Now, when Paul says, put away lying and speak truth, the moment where we tell a lie, like it or not, it affects your family, it affects the church, it affects our relationship with one another. That's why Paul says, speak the truth. Why? Because you are members one of another. You belong to one another. You are interrelated. If I tell lies, it affects my wife, it affects my family. And if we're deceptive about certain things, it affects the rest, like it or not. This is true everywhere, okay? So, Paul gives that we need to stop lying, telling the truth. Then in verse 26, another virtue we need to put on, be angry and sin not. In other words, you can be angry. Remember, your anger can only be justified if it has a legitimate reason. Okay? In other words, you need to be angry with a cause, not angry without a cause. Matthew chapter 5. Example, if someone stole your things, you have every right to be angry with that person. Because there's a cause, hey, you stole, that was wrong. But your anger, must be careful, your anger is not directed at the individual, but the anger is a feedback for that individual that I will not tolerate that, that is wrong, you need to change that. That is the anger. Does that make sense? Because unfortunately, many times the anger is directed at that person, you are you. But you know what? That person may have a weakness in that area and he cannot change if he knows that you are against him. Okay? Now, when I say that, it is for us to be very clear because sometimes we go overboard in our anger. I've done it before. I have to apologize to my children when I spank them. Really, I need to be directed at the sin and make sure they learn that you do not do that. Remember one thing though, sin is always entrenched in that person. Sin and the person is always interrelated. Okay? Because the person makes a decision to sin. Okay? But when you get angry, you feedback to that person that that is wrong. And the responsibility of that person is to accept the rebuke and say, yes, Dad, or yes, Mom, or yes, whoever, I'm wrong and I need to change. That is the goal of anger. Remember when God was angry with the whole nation of Nineveh? What did he do? He sent Jonah and said, in 40 days, you guys are going to be finished. What did the people of Nineveh do? They repented. What did God do? All right, that's good. I'm going to withhold my judgment. Why? Because it produced the desired effects. Okay? Now, unfortunately, when we talk about this anger in Ephesians 5, Paul was dealing with anger that is unjustified. Okay? And this anger actually continues for a long time. That's why Paul actually uses and says, be angry, deal with whatever you have to deal with in anger, but don't sin. And what's the definition of that? It's when you hold your anger over days and weeks, and you don't deal with it in a final sense. In other words, you don't settle it. Either you settle it with that person or you settle it in your own hearts. So when being angry with each other, ensure that it is dealt with by sundown. That's what Paul says. Because by doing so, in verse 27, you do not allow the devil to have any place in your heart. The moment you are angry with someone, over the next day, you have already allowed Satan to rent a room in your heart. And he's staying for a while. That's what it means. Sometimes I read that, I say, hey, this is not related. Actually, it's related to verse 26 in the context. Paul is just saying, if you're angry in your heart with another person and you don't deal with it, it stays in your heart and Satan have a place there. And you know what? The moment Satan has a place in the heart, it starts corrupting every other things. And I think you all agree with me. When a person is angry with another person, he sees things in a certain way. Whatever the person does is wrong. Whatever the person does is always negative. Right? That is what it means. God wants us to change our glasses. Okay, those in the UK will understand this. You need to change your lenses. You need to let God, the Holy Spirit, take control. Take out your old lenses. Okay, and then put on the Holy Spirit's lenses. Okay? So, and that's hard. Because we have old ways of thinking. We have old ways of... But you know what? Adding virtue means we will be angry, but we will choose not to sin. Say, no, Lord, I will settle it. Yeah, I may be disadvantaged by that. I don't feel like doing that. But you know what? We don't always feel like going to work. We don't always feel like getting up in the morning. We don't always feel like eating. We don't always... But we know we have to because it's good for us. We don't feel like eating medicine. My mom is eating supplements. He said, can you buy orange juice for me? I say, why? Because when I take the supplement, it's so hard to swallow. So I did orange juice. Do all you can to do the right thing. Even if you need orange juice with your anger. Okay? But you know, God also will provide help when you ask Him to. Okay? So next thing, when being angry, ensure that it's dealt with by sundown. Because if you don't, Satan gets a portion of your heart. But if you do, you chase the devil out. And that's what God means by adding virtue. Get rid, put on. Next one in verse 28, stop stealing. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may give to him that needeth. Okay? Ephesian church apparently were thieves. I mean, they were taking things that don't belong to them. But Paul kept teaching the Ephesians to stop stealing, start working hard, so that number one, you have what you need, and so that you can even contribute to other people's welfare. Alright? And you know what? There are some people who are lazy. And so they always want very quick. I was speaking to, I think, one of the youth dads, parents who work with prisoners and all that kind of thing. And when they come out from prison, they were telling me, hey, last time I worked 1 hour, I get $1,000 an hour. Don't expect me to work with this kind of work. And then expect me to work long hours, don't get so much, you know. He actually then had to tell this prisoner and who just came out and wanting a fresh start. He says, last time you were doing things illegally, that's why you're getting so much money. But you've got to work. But many of them don't, and unfortunately they would re-offend and go back again. You know what Paul is saying? To get out of your old life, you've got to stop your old life, stop stealing specifically. And start working hard, okay? And then verse 29, stop talking corruptly. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. The word corrupt means anything that will corrupt another person's mind, anything that put things into another person's head that will corrupt them away from God. Corrupting. The word corrupt has the idea of a piece, like a piece of meat you put outside after a while, it starts to decay. You don't say things, you don't tell jokes, you don't laugh at jokes. You know, young people, if you hear your friend talking a slightly dirty joke and you start laughing, you know what's happening? You're accepting that. You need to say, sorry, we cannot say that. You know, some people, we have to be very careful with our communication. In order to add virtue, watch your lips. Paul says, let no, absolute negative, stop yourself. No corrupt communication coming out of your mouth. Okay? It may not just refer to the filthy talk. It can also... When you actually say certain things you're not supposed to say, it corrupts that person. Okay? Don't let this, no, let no corrupt communicant profit out, proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of building up. Now, I've broken my children many times by the things I say. Now, I have to say sorry to them. I've said certain things to people. Sometimes I don't even know I say it wrongly. But you know what? It's something that we really need spirit-filled communication where God controls that. Okay? But Paul actually said this is a do-it-yourself project. You have to be actively in control of your lips. That you will not say anything that will break someone down. And by the way, it does not mean that you cannot say things like, you should be more hardworking. You know you have been doing this for the last 2 days and you can actually say that. But when you say that, like God in Hosea 6, He will break, but He will build up again. Okay? It's important for us in ministering and helping one another to build a person up. I use the word break loosely. You can say things, but you must always have the intention. And when the person sees that, when you're doing that, he's not going to walk away with an angry spirit. He's going to walk away understanding you said it in love. And say, look, I'm prepared to help you. But you need to put in the effort, lah. You know? And it's important because here it says, saying things that build up doesn't necessarily exclude negative words. Example, you may tell someone you are very lazy. Doesn't necessarily exclude that. Because if he's really lazy, sleeping the whole day, doing nothing, say, look, that's not what God wants. You're being lazy. You have the characteristic of a lazy person. All right, let's start working. Come, I'll say, let's work together. Let's get out of this. It's hard, isn't it? Why? It goes right where. Basically, God is trying to just get a hold of our old life, destroy it, and put on the new life. Does that make sense? You know why army is a very good place for a lot of people? People change in the army, you know why? They had no choice but to get out at 5:30 a.m. You know, after a while, when they really submitted the training, they actually improve in their character, their rooms are neater. The parents said, wow, last time I have to push him to get out at 2 p.m. Now, what, 4 a.m. he wake up and make his bed and all that. Really. Wow, the army changed him. The army may change your exterior. But can I say this? If you need that to change, after 5-10 years, you will go back to your old ways. Because you didn't change in your heart. Does that make sense? So there's something that you need to... When we speak, Paul says, let no corrupt communication proceed from your mouth, but that which is good, useful to the use of building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And this is important. The people that you speak to may not deserve what you're going to say to them. Example, if this person, use an illustration of a lazy person, say, look, you know, God does have a good plan for you. You know, God is going to give you grace and strength. If you would just deal with this, I'll help you. You know what you're doing, ministering grace to that person. He don't deserve it. He deserves to be, you know. A lot of people, you're so lazy, forget it. I've seen that before. You're so lazy, forget it. I'm not going to do anything with you. That doesn't minister grace. Grace always reflects Christ. I was just reading Luke chapter 13, my own private devotions, and when God the Father comes and said, why is this tree not producing fruit? Cut it down. Why is it cumbering the ground? What Jesus comes and says, Lord, give it one more year. Let me dig it, effort, let me dung it, put in the resources, so that it will bear fruit. If it bears fruit, fine. If it doesn't, then go ahead and cut it down. Okay? What I'm saying is that, there was someone who came in to intervene. And that's what Paul wants us to do. So put away the old ways whereby we keep knocking people down, saying things that will bring people down, but we put on new ways of talking that will help a person grow. Does that make sense? Okay? Alright, so this is in our conduct with one another. Moving on, the areas we need to add virtue in our relationships with one another. Look at verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Begin by being careful to obey the Spirit in all things and not to inflict sorrow upon Him. Do you know that you can make the Holy Spirit very sad? You know why? Number one, He's a person. He is not a thing. He's not a force. He's not an influence. He's a person. The Holy Spirit is a one of the members of the Trinity. And you can make him very sad. You know, the Holy Spirit tells us to do things, be faithful, give up your sin, deal with this. But if we don't, we grieve him, make him sad. That's a starting point. Because when you are a Christian, the Holy Spirit lives in you. And it's like your radar, you know? He makes you make sure they go in the right way, and you don't How many of you know this isn't called a speed warning device? In the army, you cannot go. It is very irritating. When you go past a certain limit, it's like and nonstop you will keep beeping, so you remind the driver, slow down. And I'm not too, in some cars also they have that. And what they will do is get the mechanic to disable that. So the speed warning device stops and don't irritate you anymore. But you know what? You may get into an accident because you fail to take heed. The Holy Spirit is like a speed warning device. To warn us. Don't go there. Don't go there. Don't say that. Don't do that. Control yourself. Say, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit speaks, say, yes, Lord. Okay? Because it's by him you are sealed to their redemption. I like this. Don't offend someone who loves you enough to tell you where to stop. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed to the day of redemption. It is because of the Holy Spirit's seal on you that one day you'll be in heaven. Don't disobey God. Why? Because he loves you, and he's the seal. He's the one that ensures your eternal salvation. Okay? And then, verse 31, 32. In our relation, one lack of bitterness. Bitterness means something that is poisonous in you. All bitterness is poisonous. And bitterness always starts with anger that refuses to be dealt with. And when that happens, it actually sucks the soul of the person and introduces poison into it. And that's why angry people are bitter people. And Paul says, let all bitterness, something that's poisonous, and wrath, loss of temper. Have you ever seen people? How many of you saw the YouTube video where this old lady was punching this boy in the bus, and someone was kind of videoing the thing? Of course, the boy was kicking the old lady back again, this man trying to stand in between to stop everyone. I don't understand this. Wrath, loss of temper. Anger, which is the same as wrath and anger and clamor. Clamor has the idea of shouting out loud and crying again. Have you seen people who are angry? They will shout and throw things. That's clamoring. Okay. And evil speaking, accusing. You are like that. Accusations flying. You know what? Paul says, put away all this. You may have seen it in some people's families. As a Christian family, you need to put it away. Because that's what Paul says. Accusations, wrath. Brother Johnny, he did this. Yes, he did. That apply to add virtue to your faith. You have to actively work at changing certain patterns of behavior. If you don't, you'll never grow. That's what Paul says. Add virtue. Add virtue. Let all bitterness put away. Wrath, loud crying, shouting, evil speaking, accusations. Put it away with all malice. And I don't think as Christians we go down that track, but some people are really very intent and say, I want to take revenge. I say, put all the malice in you, the ill will, put it away. Okay? That's the putting away. Now, what do we need to obey? Be kind one to another. Verse 32, be kind. The word kind means to be good to one another. Tender-hearted, make sure your heart is soft, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. The 4 points here, be good to one another, be tender in your heart, soft towards one another, always giving the other person the benefit of the doubt. Now, I've learned this in my life, and I always say, the person didn't mean it, the person didn't mean it. And sometimes with tears, the person didn't mean it, the person didn't mean it. I'm not psychoing myself. I'm just trying to obey God. Be tender towards that person. The person didn't mean it. Give that person the benefit of the doubt. Forgiving. I talked about it on Friday. Let the offense go. how about God? I don't know how. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Being able to use the example of Christ. You know, when people crucified him, they were cruel. All the spikes were poisonous and they were full of gangrene. You know, if you get infected in the blood, say, Father, forgive them. Let it go. Just let it go, okay? Then Ephesians 5, verse 1 and 2, very quickly. Imitating the example of Christ, be therefore followers of God as dear children. You see, when you need to follow an example in your Christian life, the best person to follow is the Lord Jesus, okay? And if you really cannot follow the Lord Jesus, fathers, let me give you this encouragement. Our children need to follow us as the example of Christ. My brother Johnny, I cannot do it. Then cling on to Christ. Follow him with all your heart. And admit to your children, admit to your family, say, look, I'm not perfect, but pray with me, pray for me, work together with me. Be followers of God as dear children, okay? And then in verse 2, and walk in love by living our love with the unconditional love of Christ. Walk in love. Live your life in the unconditional love of Christ as Christ also had loved us and had given himself an offering and sacrifice for a sweet-smelling savor. Okay, in those two verses, we add the virtue, imitate the example of Christ, live our life with the unconditional love of Christ. Love willingly, voluntarily, sacrificially. As Christ had loved us, he did it willingly and voluntarily, and had given himself for an offering. He had given himself. He also loved sacrificially. You know, when Jesus died, he has nothing left. At the cross, he gave all. He said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. He gave all. Okay? Any questions? I hope that as we read the Bible, we say, yes, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord. I shouldn't have said that to my so-and-so. And Lord, I'm sorry I stole that $10. I need to give it back, you know. And I need to be honest. Maybe for teenagers, say, Lord, I'm sorry I lied to my mom about this. I lied to my dad about this. I need to, you know, can I say this? When you read the Bible and you remember, maybe you told a lie 3 years ago or 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago and you haven't settled that, immediately that day, you need to go to your dad, your mom, your whoever that you have offended against and say, you know, remember that time? I stole it. You need to just go and be honest, because if you don't, you know, our pride will stop us from doing that. But when the Holy Spirit convicts us, regardless of the time, you know, I'm not a people who did wrong at 2 a.m. and say, I have to call you, I have to settle this. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have stole your thing or whatever. You need to do it then. Don't delay. The more you delay, the devil is going to help you procrastinate to the point that you don't deal with that. Does that make sense? You need to deal with sin. You need to deal with it. When the Holy Spirit brings up, put it away, put in the new thing. Okay? Any questions? Okay, I hope. Remember the Holy Spirit, God's love, his mercy is always there to guide us and help us. But we need to be willing. We need to be willing. There was one, how many of you, I think some of you may know the series, in the 1970s, a family series called Little House on the Prairie. Little House on the Prairie. Okay, in one particular episode, some of you may have seen it, we played a prayer meeting before, a prayer retreat, whereby the entire town refused to come to church because people got problems with one another, okay? And then Laura, which is part of the Ingalls family, said, Dad, why is all these adults not, why are they not willing to kind of reconcile and do things, you know? And this is Dad, look at this girl, and it's so reflective of all of us, I mean, myself included, and they say, you know what? Because they're stubborn and they're proud. They say, why? Oh, because they have more years to practice that. The adults. But no, interestingly, in that particular show, it was the children who brought the adults back together. Because they begin to work together. All right, so that's why humility is such an important thing. It was rightly mentioned by a brother last week, how much we need Christ and his humility to be in our hearts, okay, so that we can obey Christ first, okay? So I'll just give you two questions to write down. What are some areas that the Holy Spirit wants you to add virtue to. Getting rid and putting in. All right? Okay, let's. Any questions before I move on to lesson 3? Okay, today we're going to add knowledge to our faith, which is, let's turn back to 2 Peter again. 2 Peter. Saying, please stop me, all right, if you don't understand or you feel, just feel free to ask. We're here to learn. Myself, as well as I read through also, I'm learning, and I believe God will keep working in our hearts as we let His Word change us. 2 Peter chapter 5, and chapter 1, sorry, and verse number 5, okay? Let's read together. I think we're ready, but just read together. Ready? 1, 2, go. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. Okay, so right now, virtue, okay, if you want a practical word, virtue refers to obedience. Add to your faith obedience. Okay, all right, now moving on to after obedience, the more you obey, all things remaining constant, we want to follow Christ. Yeah, we are not perfect. We are weak in many areas. We are strong in some that God has helped us. But the more we want to obey Christ, the more we find we don't know. So what's the next thing? Add knowledge. Add knowledge. Okay? I was thinking through this. Let me just define this knowledge part. Okay? You can use Webster's. Okay? Webster's is a good dictionary for Bible. Noah Webster actually uses the Bible. All right, he uses Bible verses even in the dictionary to help to understand the word better. Okay, so definition of knowledge. Knowledge refers to the clear understanding of biblical truth. Talking from the Christian faith perspective, the knowledge that Peter was talking about. Knowledge refers to the clear understanding of biblical truth regarding the Christian faith, Christ Himself, the doctrines and the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. I say again, knowledge refers to the clear understanding of biblical truth regarding the Christian faith, Christ Himself, and all the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus told the Pharisees and the scribes, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye know, ye think ye have eternal life, for they are they which testifies of me." Okay, John 5:39. Divine knowledge, this is important. Divine knowledge requires a saved heart. You need to be a Christian. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, you can jot down the references. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, I just read, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him." The natural man means a person who is not a Christian. The natural man receiveth not, does not welcome the things of God. If we find it hard to accept all the time, okay, God's things, it might be that we are a natural man because they are foolishness to him. Okay? Number one, it requires a safe heart. Divine knowledge requires the teaching of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verse 26, I'll read, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, He shall teach you all things." I am an instrument of Christ. And those people who have preached in the pulpit here before, taught in Sunday school before, taught in whatever situation before, you are all instruments, but it's the Holy Spirit that will teach the truth and apply it to our hearts, okay? You need to listen out for that. Of course, God uses an instrument. And there was this preacher by the name of John, was it John? McChinney, if you know him. His ministry was only for 9 years. He lived in the 1700s, but his messages are still in existence today. His ministry was only 9 years, 20 to 29. Okay? He died at the age of 29. He said this, "A holy minister is an awful weapon in the hands of God." It's not just the Holy Spirit, but when the whole person is surrendered to the Holy Spirit, God uses that minister. Okay? So, but it requires the teaching of the Holy Spirit. And then it also requires a ready and a willing heart. A a ready and a willing heart. Divine knowledge requires a ready and a willing heart. Let me just read Luke chapter 8, 15. But on a good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. In order to acquire the knowledge that God wants to give to us, we need all those criteria. Now, I thought through this, but you know what? Many people read the Bible, but they don't add knowledge to their faith. Reading the Bible and knowledge of Christ is two different things. You can read, how many of you read textbooks, and at the end you have no idea what he's talking about?
Sometimes.
Yeah, when some people put out handwriting and say, what in the world is this person about? But you know, a lot of people can read the Bible, but they have no knowledge of Christ. Yeah, then I realized as pastor, I'm no longer going to tell you to read your Bibles alone. But you know what? I've told you to interact with the Bible. Through your Bible reading, you get a knowledge of Christ. The question is, when you read your Bible, do you get a better knowledge of who Jesus is? Otherwise, you didn't add knowledge. You just spent some time reading a book. Can you see the difference? We have to be serious-minded about this, because if you don't add this knowledge of Christ, your virtue is just, it's going to be status quo for a long time. Any questions? Do you understand what I'm trying to drive at? And maybe that's why many people who claim to read the Bible and say that, well, it doesn't work. You know why? You haven't gotten the knowledge of Christ. You haven't gotten knowledge of Christ. I've seen two persons saved at the same church. One person is growing leaps and bounds. One person is not. Why? The person is adding knowledge and is applying it. Another person is just reading, but he has no heart to it. We can be in church for 20 years and still remain the same. That's my concern. That's my concern as pastor. But here, it's very clear. 2 Peter says, add knowledge, not the practice of reading the Bible. Add knowledge. In other words, you need to grow and you begin to understand more and more what Jesus means. Because the more you understand what he means, then it makes the change in our life. The knowledge can also be applied. Okay, this is another part of the definition. If you look at the Greek meaning, it also applies to the skills needed to learn and input God's word into our hearts and minds. And the use of that knowledge. This knowledge involves gaining that knowledge, the skills related, and the practice of it. Okay? Look at Hebrews chapter 11, chapter 5, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Now just go through this and highlight these points from okay, Hebrews 5, 11, verse, chapter 5, verse 11, to 5, verse 11 says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. The word dull of hearing means, the word dull has the idea that, has a word of, cannot go through, and my mom always say, your head very thick. Cannot talk to you, like talking to a wall, cannot go through, you know. We're dull of hearing. We're listening, but we're not listening. We're listening, but we're not listening. All right? And Paul says, look, I want to explain to you this, but I can't. It's like, you guys are supposed to be grown up as Christians for many years already, but talking to a baby is easier than you talking to you. He didn't say that. That's my addition. You're dull of hearing. You don't understand. For the time ye ought to be teachers, you know what's a spiritual truth there? There comes a time that you need to be teachers in your Christian life. Paul said that. For when the time is expected that you are teachers, you have need that someone teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. Now, there was one time in Independent Baptist churches like 20 years ago, we keep teaching the same thing again and again and again and again. And I realized why. People are not growing. They have the same patterns of behavior again and again and again and again. Not changed by the pattern of Christ. And Paul gave the reason later on. And I become such as have need of milk, not of strong meat, because everyone that uses milk is unskillful He doesn't know how to use the word of righteousness. That's why Bible study is important. That's why you need to look at the word and say, okay, how do I practice this? Not putting our thinking on that verse, but what the word says and how we practice it. We're unskillful in the word of righteousness means we have never developed that skill of using God's word because he's a baby. It's very interesting when you look at how yesterday Emma was in, and he was, we were all singing. You know? She was also holding the book. And she was singing, ah, oh, ah, oh, ah, 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 oh. And the book is not the songbook we have, it's ABC Animals. But it's a good thing she's imitating. You know, next time she'll be easier for her to be in. Well, it's a blessing. It's good. It's actually good for a baby to do that. Because they're actively learning from the environment what is the right way of behavior. And she was, ah, oh, ah. They look at me and that's it. They, ah, oh, ah. I should come to youth group sometime. It's very funny. And Emma would just walk around and grab JJJB and when I try to carry her, she run away. It's all fun. But you know, she is unskillful in the use of the songbook. But she's learning what to do. She's still learning, but she's at the babe level. God doesn't expect us when we are 5 years, 10 years, 15 years Christian, and still, that'd be a big problem with that. Okay, Paul is actually telling this to Hebrew Christians and said, "Look, there's a time that comes. You have to be teachers, but actually, you're very unskillful in the use of the word. But strong meat belongeth to them; they are full age, even those." Who by reason of use, in other words, you challenge yourself on a daily basis, Lord, I will do right. Lord, I will resist temptation. Lord, I will not read that. Why? Because you use your faith and everything in life, you use your Christian faith to be that shield, to be the principle and the standard to measure everything. And over time, you become better and better. Now, just like a commando or a soldier or whoever that is in a particular vocation, the more you practice that, the more skillful you become. By reason of use, have their senses exercised to know what is right and wrong. Many Christians still have a problem deciding what is right and wrong, and what is God's will, and what is not. You know, we need to develop that. And you need to speak with people so that you can hone your skills. I'm thankful some like Brother So and some of the older Christian brothers are willing to sit with me and I will bounce ideas off him, I will challenge him, and all in the spirit of learning. And we are able to, I will send emails to Dr. Ron Comfort, and he will advise me, and I'm still growing. You know, we need to do that. God wants us to grow, all right? Okay, five things you need to do to add knowledge. Number one, there needs to be an earnest desire. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Remember, we're adding knowledge, okay? There needs to be an earnest desire. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 5, 1 to 5. Let's read that. These five verses is important. Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. I'll read verse 1, you read verse 2. Then we'll try to get the sense of what, listen, this is important, of what Solomon, a father, is trying to tell his son. Practicalize that. Fathers, I'm sure this is a desire of every father here, my son. Okay? I'll read verse 1, you read verse 2. My son, if thou will receive or welcome my words and hide my commandments with thee. Verse 2. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifted up thy voice for understanding. Verse 4. Verse 5 together. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Solomon is begging his son, my son, if you will welcome my words. It all starts there. You know, right now it's even a fight to get people to at least listen to God's word. But Solomon says, my son, if you would welcome, the word receive means to welcome, like receive a guest. If you would welcome my words and hide my commandments with thee, number one, you are willing to listen. Number two, you are willing to take the words and I put it here first, hide it. Okay? So that it leads to, after you have heard and willing, so that you incline the ear unto not the words anymore, to wisdom. You say, okay, I want to listen. Why? Because I want to be wise. I want to hear what God has to say. He's a wise God. Incline my ear to learn the principles of life. Some people just don't want to listen. Young people, you need to grow up with a heart, a desire, a burning desire to listen for wisdom. And fathers, can I say this? I'm learning this in order for our children to be on fire. We need to be a bonfire of commitment to God. That is hot. We are weak, but we need the Holy Spirit's fire that will say, Lord, I'm weak, but you are strong. I depend on you. I'll do my best with what I have. But God, you need to inspire. You need to be one to impress. Coming back to this. So you incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply your heart to understand. The attitude of every learner in the Bible must be, I don't understand. I go and find out. You know what I've seen before? You know what people tend to do? I don't understand. Ah, never mind, like, as long as I read my word. No. Hannah will not do that with your exams. If you don't understand the chapter, you will read and read and read and read and read until you understand. Yes? Or ask teacher, yes? Or not just Hannah, but anyone of you, right? If you don't understand a lesson and it's for the exams, you will, skip. You can drop. But I'll spot the other question, can. By the judgment seat, no spotting one. Covers the whole life is the thing. God doesn't say, okay, you can drop this subject. No. God wants us to be a complete person. Okay? All right. So that you, if you cry after knowledge, say, jerk, I really need you, okay or not? I stay back until 9 p.m., never mind, but can you please help me? I still remember his name. His name is Mr. Poa. He's my form teacher. And he said this, you know what, if I explain to you for 6 hours, I will. The last time he said, yeah, right. Now looking back, he's someone who is willing to help. You know, he's a good man, you know. That's my primary four teacher. They seeketh her as silver and searches for her as hid. In other words, understanding, learning the wisdom of God is a priority for you. You know, some of us, if we seek God's word, like we seek other things in life, we'll be pretty strong Christians. Okay? Verse 5. Then you will understand why someone says the fear of God is so important. Then you will find who God really is. Number one, it begins with an earnest desire. Number two, how do we add knowledge to our faith? By reading. By reading. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. Let me just read. You can take note of the reference. Till I come, Paul tells Timothy, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to instruction. Three things. Your own personal reading. Exhortation is the admonishment, the challenge from God's word, and to doctrine, which is a teaching of God's word. Paul says, you need to give attendance to reading in the church. And you know what? Paul also says, you, Timothy, yourself, you need to pay attention to the reading of God's word. What does he mean? There's a difference between reading and studying. When I began as a Christian, I remember when I read, I just read, but I don't have an understanding. Okay? It's important for those who study the Bible. You also need to know what happens in the Bible. FBI is a good way to start. It actually forces you to read so they have a general overview and so that when people talk about certain, oh yeah, I remember that. You may not know fully everything in that chapter, but at least you know roughly what happened. Okay, the idea is to know the stories that God has given in the Bible. Okay, so it could be that you may divide your Bible reading some people have done that. Morning, I'll just read one chapter and I read chapter 2, and so on until I finish Matthew, then after Mark. The idea is to have a whole overview. This is separate from your study. It's just reading. There was one preacher who was talking to another preacher. He said, okay, What's a new resolution? I intend to read through my Bible once a month. I say, how do you do that? And this preacher said, if you just read your Bible 45 minutes a day, you can finish it in 1 month. It's like, okay, that's a challenge. But you know what? Another preacher who took this as an example said, how much we need an input of God's word. You know why we're making a lot of errors in our decision-making in life? Because we don't know God's word. You do err, not knowing the scripture. I want to encourage us to err. Okay? This is not a rebuke session, but I think it, how I'm concerned. We need to know what God says. And the only way you know what Pastor Johnny has mentioned on Monday, the reason why people are not living right is because they don't know what God says. And the reason why they don't know is because they're not reading. And so we need to add knowledge by reading. And sometimes you may travel, just dedicate maybe half an hour, beginning of the plane ride, I'm going to read. I've estimated you can, 45 minutes, you can cover 12 chapters. Really? Drink coffee, aircon, make sure it's in, conducive environment. Conducive as in conducive for reading, not conducive for the flesh. Okay, some people read Bible and my wife would say, hey, you tired, go and sleep. I've got a reading Bible on my bed. Hey, it's very conducive, but not for Bible reading. It's conducive for my flesh. Okay, you know, the best thing, table, 90 degree in your knee, have a cup of coffee, fan, whatever, sit up straight, posture of attention, read your Bible. Wow, Brother Johnny, you mean I have to, if you really want to be serious, in reading, you need to read, okay? Thirdly, okay.
Can we go back to the Proverbs 2?
Okay.
Verse 4.
Okay.
Thou seekest her as
stretch.
Why did the Bible say wisdom is her?
Okay, the idea of wisdom. No, it's not a person. Wisdom is just, it's just a personification, it's a literary device.
So is there any special?
No. No, no. Just like a country is her, a country is her. I love her, the country. Okay? So it's just a literary device there. Okay? By meditate, point number three, we need to add knowledge by meditation and studying. I'll just try to quickly finish, okay? By meditation and studying. Joshua 1 verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. The word meditate, interesting, in the Hebrew means to murmur. Means to talk about it. Means to rehearse. Means to speak. Means to think. It involves, the idea of murmuring is not complaining. It's sometimes when you read the Bible, you think, oh, God says, God so loved the world. What does it mean? And as you're walking along, and as I was driving to my mom's place, driving everywhere, I was, okay, this verse says, I will keep talking and talking and talking, and just keep rehearsing and rehearsing. And then I understand what God told Joshua, the Bible should not depart from your mouth, literally. All right, one of the things I want to encourage, Lord willing, in the next 1, 2 to 3 years in Ambassador, that when we gather together, we talk about God's word more than soccer, than anything else. Okay, we need to develop this. All right? Brother Johnny, very sin, every time we talk about Bible, I'm concerned if we think like that, okay? I'm not saying don't talk about anything else. I'm saying we need to give God. We need to practice this. We need to practice this, talking about God's word. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night. And then I realized why God said that. So that my word will be part and parcel of your life. Joshua, as the general, need to know the will of God, his general. And Joshua, the general of Israel, need to fully internalize whatever God says so that his way will be prosperous. His way will be successful. And we know that Joshua was successful. The Bible says, I believe in Joshua chapter 13, and Joshua did all that God did, told him to do. He was successful. Okay? By meditation, by studying. In Psalm 1, 2, chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in this law doth he meditate, think about, murmur, rehearse day and night. Okay? So by meditation and studying. The Bible also says, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Another way to add knowledge, number 4, by memorization. Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Sometimes when I started kind of putting memorization verses, you know, all along I thought that maybe I wasn't very sure if we put that or not. I know some churches do that, but you know what? There's certainly a lot of value when we put, and God affirmed that when Brother Aldwin says, Pastor, when I started memorizing God's word, when we start Sunday school, before in the workplace, he began to realize that his mind can be more focused on God and his word. Okay, memorize it. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Number five, this is a very important thing. How do you acknowledge to your faith? By obedience. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 10. Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 10. And this is what Moses, God told Moses, or rather Moses told the children of Israel. Let's read together, okay? Deuteronomy 27:10, ready, 1, 2, go. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. That's a direct instruction from Moses to the children of Israel. This is the second time that God is giving the law to Israel through Moses. The first time the generation has already died. And the reason why they died is because they did not fulfill what God said. But the second generation under Joshua, when they went in, they obeyed God. That's why they conquered the promised land. But the instruction was still given to the whole of Israel. But it's interesting, at the end of Joshua, Joshua still challenged the people, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. Even though the promised land was conquered, the people's hearts were not given to God 100%. You know how we know? By the time of Judges, by chapter 3, Israel went straight back to sin again. But the challenge and encouragement for us is this. For those who will love and believe and obey God, there are two people that came up from Egypt that went into the promised land. Who are they?
Caleb
and Joshua. And the Bible says these two had a different spirit. Their spirit was not the spirit of the world. Their spirit was not the spirit of the culture. Their spirit was not the spirit of this, the influencer. Their spirit was the spirit of God. The Bible says these two of a different spirit. You check it out. And the spirit was, I want to obey God. You know, Joshua was telling the 10 spies, and then, come on, guys, we can do it. God is with us. They may be giants, but God is going to step on them and destroy them because God already promised us. Well, of course, the people didn't want to listen to him. Okay, so turn to Matthew chapter 7 is the last. Matthew chapter 7. You need to add knowledge to your faith. If you are not on FBI, I strongly recommend you to be on. Because it gives you a disciplined platform to read and study God's word. Okay? Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, the Bible says, therefore, whosoever heareth the sayings of mine and doeth them. That's why I say, I believe very strongly what God is trying to tell us as a church, don't just read my word. Get the knowledge you need. You must hear and then do. If you will do that, then I will liken you to a what? Wise man. A man that listens. You know, a wise man is a person who takes the instruction as it is. It's like a construction company, a foreman or supervisor who says, okay, this was done by the architect. I trust the architect. This is what he says. All right, guys, this is what the architect says. Let's follow. But no, this one very hot. No, after that, no, the architect says this. We just follow what he says. Of course, in Singaporean, of course, anything happen, the architect will pay for it. But you know what? The wisdom is this. The architect has been trained to build the house, and he's given us a blueprint. Let's follow it. God has given us blueprint for our life. Why are we failing? We're not following the blueprint. Simple. That's why Jesus, after everything that he has taught, he says, therefore, whosoever heareth these things and doeth them, I will parallel him, liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rains descended, floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it did not fall. It fell on. You know, for us, all of us, we're going to be finishing soon, all of us are building our house in this life. All of us are building our house in this life. The question we need to ask ourselves is, how are we building the house? If we are building the house outside of God's word, you know, Jesus has already said, let's read what he says. And he says, and everyone that heareth these things of mine, doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man. A foolish man, very simply, is someone who does not put God in his plans. Which built his house upon the sand, and as rains descended, floods came, winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, the last part, and great was the fall of it. I tell my children, family devotions, if you will not live for God now, your children, next time, you may not see in heaven. It's as simple as that. You can cry till the cows come home, your tears, if you are involved, and your children may not come to Christ. I don't know about you, that's a very sad thing. And you may make mistakes. You know, the saddest part for me, that those people who have sat under the teaching of the Bible in FBI and all that, finished certificate, diploma, everything, make wrong moves, get divorced and stuff like that in his life. Why? All these things has been taught. Why? He heareth the word but did not do it. Dear friends, you know how to be successful in your life? Obey God's word. Don't give any excuses not to do so. I'm telling you as your pastor, if you will do that, I guarantee you, based on God's word, your life, I'm not saying no trouble, but I'm saying you will be firm. The rains will come. You may feel the heat, but you will be strong. You will be strong because Jesus promises that. And I'd rather stick my teaching on him rather than any reasons we have. Okay? So add knowledge. Add knowledge. Okay? So in the discipleship group, Lord willing, starting February, we want to actively put memorization of verses. We want to put a clear teaching so that, and we need people to teach that so that we learn what God says, not come and discuss what we think he says, but to teach systematically what God says. So we all add knowledge to our faith. All right? Any questions? Any questions? Okay, I've not actually finished, but next week I'll just touch on the blessings of obeying God's word and the consequences. Memory verse 2 Timothy chapter 2:15. I think we all know that, right? Do we know 2 Timothy 2:15? Ready? Those who know, 1, 2, go. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay, so memorize that. Remember, at the end of the day, when you acknowledge, you'll be a workman that's approved by God. Okay? That's a word of prayer. All right, then we'll. Lord, thank you for your precious word and the teaching of the Holy Spirit. We humble our hearts, Lord, myself included, all of us, that we need to acknowledge to our faith. And Lord, we need to humble ourselves and to allow you to teach us. Thank you, Lord, for the willingness of all your people to just bow their hearts in submission to your teaching, I pray. That we will add to our faith knowledge, virtue, and then knowledge. That, Lord, this will be the stepping stones of our Christian faith. Lord, help us not to give us wisdom, how, Lord, to plan our lives around these vital principles. Because when we get this right, Lord, our hearts will be right. Because from our hearts are the issues of life. Things will happen, but Lord, everything comes from the heart. Help us to take care of the health of our spiritual heart with you, so that the things that we do in your name, Lord, and in your sight, by your Spirit, will be successful, not in our eyes, but in your eyes, that our children, our friends, the people around us will see Christ. Thank you. I pray you bless the service to follow and the voting and everything. We pray and submit to you today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.